Loudmouth by Devours off the new record Sports Car Era here on the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. That's our radio station. And we have Devours live in studio. Welcome back.
Hi.
That's welcome back both this time and welcome back to
from the
your
break.
Exactly. Jeff, before the break, you mentioned a tutoring thing, a program where you're teaching queer youth to make electronic music. I don't want to necessarily like make you break down like the whole program or anything, but I'm interested about that. Like how, both maybe a little bit, how did that come to be? But like what you said, that's sort of like a dream or a goal. What does that mean to you to have that opportunity?
Yeah, it's a neat opportunity. So basically, I've been volunteering there for the last few years, just doing like front desk stuff, mm-hmm. nothing music related, just like taking calls and stuff like that. But yeah, community was given a whole bunch of musical equipment last summer, just as a donation from someone. And so they decided to create a program. So we re-ran it last fall. It was 4 workshops, I guess, where I was sort of teaching people like the meaning of music, songwriting, lyric writing, how to use Ableton, which I actually use Logic for all of my music, and I had to learn how to use Ableton for this, and it was a little bit confusing. But yeah, so that was neat. They've recently relaunched it. So last Tuesday, they brought it back. And so, yeah, it's every Tuesday now, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., and it's drop-in, and it is free.
That's cool.
Which is really cool, yeah. So I don't really know if it's tutoring. People can just come and jam. We have a whole bunch of equipment set up, and I sort of teach them how to layer stuff and choose sounds, and yeah, so that's
cool.
It's been really neat, yeah.
For the gear nerd in me, what do you got set up? What's it look like?
I am not a gear nerd at all, actually. I don't know anything about gear. So
just a bunch of stuff.
I've been trying to learn how to use it. Yeah. So there's a little, there's a tablet and there's Ableton on it. And there's a little Korg Nano Pad, like drum sort of sampler. And there is a small synth that people can play on. And there's a microphone. So yeah, it's nothing
everything
too like wild techie or anything. It's just like the basics for a little like home studio.
Well, that's good, because that's, you know, probably where people are going to start if they do decide to pursue it, and also, you know, sometimes limitations are great, you know.
Yeah,
it's John Cage in you. It's so interesting that you wouldn't profess as a gear nerd and then like make electronic based music. What's the do you ever feel the urge to dive into the world of gear, or is it just as intimidating as, I don't know, it feels to me?
Yeah. I don't want to sound pretentious or anything, but like I like sound design.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes I just use the sounds that are built into Logic, so nothing super fancy, but then I sort of like tweak them and change their pitches and layer them in certain ways. So I tend to just try to be resourceful with the things I can find, but I have a tiny little apartment. I can't fit anything in it. And so, yeah, I'm not big. I also don't have money, so I'm not really into going out and buying lots of gear.
Yeah, fair. And I mean, if you're used to, you know, making music through the computer, through Logic as your instrument or your instruments, then it can be if that's what you like to do, then why try to mess with that, I guess. And also, it's, as you said, it's expensive and takes up space.
Yeah. For sure.
I had mentioned earlier, I don't know if this was on air or off, but I'm moving. And one of the great things is that we get an extra room, and maybe I can leave a synthesizer or two set up instead of packing them up every single time I want to play one. So that's fun.
So one of the things, just shifting gears a little bit here, that I'm always so it popped into my head while we were talking about just like the authenticity behind the music that you make. One of the things that I think that you do a lot, you spend a lot of time on and are really good at doing, more so than other people in the scene locally, is cultivating a visual aesthetic
behind
that. And I feel like that's not a thing that we necessarily talk about a lot whenever we have you on. And then you mentioned a little bit the American Apparel adjacent take on it. But what, like, why is that important for you to have a visual component that accompanies this, the music? Like, why do you prioritize that? I don't know if you have a philosophy behind that or at all, if you just see it as a full package. But
I think that it is a full package. You know, when I think of the artists who we listened to growing up, like Smashing Pumpkins, a lot of people didn't even realize how much they liked the band because Darcy was a girl and she was hot. You know what I mean? Like, people are very, like, visually based. Looks are very, very important. They're sadly the most important thing in the package. Like, you can make an awesome album, but if you don't dress it up properly, people won't listen to it. And I think that I learned that the hard way throughout my 20s, because I wasn't cool looking or especially attractive or anything. And I was making this music that I really, really believed in, but just didn't really have an image to go along with it. And I didn't have cool clothes, and people just never offered me shows. You know what I mean? And so it's like, whether it's in the music industry or the local scene, like, you kind of have to look the part. I hate even talking about this because it's gross, but that's, yeah, something that I don't really love about people and the music industry. But yeah, so I think that with Devours, it was a little bit of like a business strategy, honestly, of being like, I guess I need an image if I'm going to perform live. But I ended up loving it because it's really creative, you know. I think Devours has always been a sort of like an exploration, an expression of like my gender identity and fluidity and my chance to sort of like, yeah, wear blouses and dresses. And so it's actually been like progressive and helpful for me. And so, yeah. And also, it's a little bit of a long game. You know, this is album number 5 for me in Vancouver, and which is wild. It's really hard to keep people's attention for this long.
Totally.
I think that if there's anything that I'm proud of, it's that like people haven't gotten completely bored of me at this point. But it's hard, right? So it helps to sort of like change your image a little bit each time and keep people on their toes. And so it's a little bit, yeah, of like a strategy as well.
Well, and I always think of like even the bands that I've loved from this scene, they all kind of blend into one. You know what I mean? At least aesthetically, and like how they present either online or even present like their, not even like how they look, but how even the visual component of their music, whether that's album art or music videos, like it all more or less kind of blends together. But like,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'll be danged if somebody doesn't know, like, recognize a Devours piece, like a Devours aesthetic, and be able to coordinate that with like an album, you know what
okay,
I mean? Like, instead of just like Devours being a singular thing, like, it's very clearly, I don't know, I think that's it's a really smart cohesion with like each record.
Thank you. Yeah. I've tried my best. I'm a musician. Like, I just want to make music. And every time I release an album, I'm like, okay, what should I do this time? Like, the visual component's a bit more challenging for me. I'm just a kind of a studio rat and want to just keep making music. And so, yeah, it's like becoming a little bit more challenging, being like, okay, I'm bald. I don't know how many other things I can like put on my head this time, but I'm doing what I can.
So that's how it works for you, is you the music comes and then you're figuring out building on top of it.
Yeah, the music comes really quickly and easily, and then I have to spend like 6 months trying to like find a wardrobe
with
at thrift
the production
stores
design.
And being like, oh my god.
I think it's interesting too, because, you know, as you said, you're a musician, you're a studio rat, like you like the writing of music, but unfortunately the world we live in, just writing songs and putting them out is not really, it doesn't pay the bills unless you're one of the like 0.00001% that quote unquote make it in that way, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But so you have to perform, you have to do all these other things, and it becomes it just becomes more than just the music in that sense, right?
Oh, and I feel like of everything that I do, music is like 8%. Of it, and 92% is like
the hustle,
business, merch, I guess networking, promoting. there's a lot that goes into it, and I think that's why I started the Golden Age of Wrestling, actually, was because I was starting to get disillusioned at the time, and I'm like, I just want to make music.
Yeah.
And so I try to, you know, have like a steady stream of stuff that I'm working on that keeps me sort of in my happy place. But yeah, there's a lot that goes into it.
You are playing as part of Juno Fest coming up.
How crazy
is that?
It's crazy. Yeah. I didn't apply.
Oh, yeah, right. That's cool.
Yeah, which is, it's an honor. I heard from Music BC. Maybe this is supposed to be like a secret. But yeah, they reached out and asked me to play, and it is an honor. Yeah, I mean, I think getting nominated for Polaris was like one of the highlights of my entire life.
Totally.
And then the Junos, I've always just been like, well, it's for like Nickelback and like the mainstream artists and stuff like that, so I never really thought much of it. But yeah, there are a few really cool bands who are playing this year. Piss, mm-hmm. the band who opened my release show last night, they're so good. And they are playing, which is crazy. They've only been a band for a year. They have like an absurd amount of buzz in Vancouver right now. And they're playing. So yeah, the lineup's actually pretty cool. And grateful for the Junos. Thank you, Michael Bublé.
He selected Devours personally, I hear.
Absolutely, he did.
Yeah.
It's cool. Vancouver connects.
Do we want to... Is there a Piss song you'd like to hear?
Ooh.
Time Loop at Hot Slit?
Yeah, I think that's... Let's do that one.
All right, here it is on the Vancouver mixtape.
Millions and millions of pictures are made of us in postures of submission and sexual access, and the major motif of pornography as a form of entertainment is that women are raped and violated and humiliated until we discover that we like it, and at that point we ask for more.
Mouth.
Time Loop at Hot Slit by Piss. Open for you this past, last night, I guess.
Amazing.
Sorry, your mic was off, Jeff, but you did say that they were amazing.
Piss
I convey
rules.
That. And I mean, also, you know, we, as Jamie brought up earlier, we're well aware of your sort of rock, heavy music, new metal. Yeah. Influences and past yeah. and tendencies, but you know the I don't know the average Devours listener, the average Devours concert attendee. Do you think how did the crowd react to the variety of music that they encountered at your show? Like,
really good question. Yeah, I think that people were polite. They were good sports. I think that some of the friends I have, especially in the gay community. Didn't really want to hear like punk, and so they skipped the first band and then came a little bit later. But that's typically how album release shows go. There are going to be some people that are like people in the scene, like music people, that show up and want to see everyone, and then there are just like family friends who come who just don't only want to see you. But yeah, people were good sports. There were a ton of people for Piss.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that it would be a little bit quieter, but they were already like a few hundred people in the audience watching them. Yeah, so it was cool. I have a question for Jamie.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yes. What's going on with self-care?
Oh, self-care. We have a single release show at Bullies. I don't know if you've...
I haven't played at Bullies yet. It's in New West, right?
Yeah.
Cool. March 21st, am I
March
right on
March 21st at Bullies with a couple bands, Pen Pal Aloha, who is a like nice little replacements adjacent kind of pop rock band that I've become quite fond of, and they're really nice people. And then this other like young emo pop punk upstart band called Story's End. So we're releasing our latest single, a little baseball adjacent song called Little Big League on the 21st. So that's gonna be fun. And then we're just in the booking stages of our own album release show on May 3rd.
Whoa.
Maybe May 3rd.
Okay, this is crazy spoilers.
Reveal.
I didn't know that you had an entire album that you were sitting on.
A whole record that we've been sitting on for about a year.
I'm glad that self-care is back. It's been a little bit quiet. I wasn't
We're back, baby.
Sure. Yeah, this is big. This is your year.
We just did, in September we did a Blue Light Sessions.
Oh, right on.
And
that's great.
I think the video just came out, but it like came out to they like to tell us when it went out. So we got that when you circulate that. But yeah, those are the fun things that are coming out for me.
Good.
But I guess what's next for you? So you had the big show.
Mm-hmm.
What's next for me is
trying to find a stable job. So yeah, life has not been very glamorous this past while. But I'll do my best to sort of handle like the vinyl orders and merch and interviews for the next like week or two, so things are gonna start to calm down soon. And I'm gonna play a bunch of festivals. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to announce them yet, but through the summer there are a few big ones that are sort of outside of BC.
Great.
That I'll be playing that I'm excited for. My happy place is just like making more music.
Yeah,
that's my like number one favorite thing, and so I'm already like seven songs deep. Making more, and I just want to keep going with no limitations. Maybe it'll be a triple album. I don't know. I just need to like keep the framework in my head of just like that's something that I've struggled with over the years. It's like I'll make 10 songs within the space of 3 months, and then I'll be like, okay, Jeff, stop making music now because it'll sound old by the time it eventually gets released,
right?
And I'm trying to do this like one album every 2 years cycle thing like in the industry, and it's not making me very happy,
right?
And so I just want to have like a steady stream, just do it for fun,
do it on your terms instead of what
and that's easier said
needs.
Than done, but I'm trying now that I've entered my 40s. I'm like, yeah, Jeff, just do what makes you happy. The industry didn't really want you and it's fine, just like do it.
Well, and I would say
do it on your own terms.
Doing what you want has been relatively successful compared to doing what the industry wants, right?
Thanks. I don't know.
I mean, we've certainly felt like the benefactors of it, just we being like music lovers in the city. It's nice when someone like really gives a dang. And then has some staying power and longevity. Like there's I forget what the saying is. My brain's a little melted, but like
it's
there's
okay.
the consistency of Devours has just been like really grounding. Like,
thank you.
Something that you know that it's going to be quality, and it's going to Devours is going to be playing sometime this year. I'll be able to see Jeff do your thing. So
thank you.
That's always very good to know, and I think this scene is very blessed for it. Just spend an hour pumping your tires.
You guys are really nice. Thank you very much.
Why else have Jeff on than to pump his tires for an hour? I do want to ask, we're nearing the last 10 minutes or so of our time together. You've done this collaboration on stage with Dave from Japan Droids. We know you've collaborated with Future Star in the past.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Do you have any other sort of dream collaborations or people you'd like to work with?
Ooh, really good question. Yeah, so I've been reflecting a lot this past year on just like, what is my actual future? Like, I don't know. I don't want to sound like depressing, But yeah, Vancouver's a hard city. It's so hard to tour out the city. And I sometimes, I don't have like a booking agent in Europe or anything. Like there are certain levels that I would love to get to, but it just hasn't happened. And so I've been trying to be realistic this past while and be like, should I just work as a producer for people? Should I just try to be a songwriter for other people? You know, moving into my 40s, like in this entire new chapter. And so, yeah, I really want to collaborate with more people. I still like doing remixes for people. I'm working on a song with Walgren.
Cool.
Right now, Tegan's insanely talented. The song is really catchy, actually. I hope that it eventually comes out. Yeah, hopefully a few more remixes for people this year. I think it would be fun to work with, like, Kylie V or something, just, like, a younger talent. But yeah, you're like tapping into something that's really been on my mind a lot, actually, this past while. It's like, how do I move forward? And then with Golden Age of Wrestling, I've done some stuff for like podcasts and a few like indie video games and stuff. And I've always seen that project as like not necessarily as like pop or commercial, or like I rarely get show offers for it and stuff like that. But I see it almost having more potential long term than Devours, because Devours is such a, like, there's so much pressure on like me aesthetically, and you know, as a pop product or whatever. In Golden Age, I can just like be hiding under a veil and just make like film music for the next 30 years. You know what I mean? And so that's something that's on my mind as well, is like, where do I want to take that project, and should I just get into like film scoring or something? So yeah, we'll see.
Cool.
Jesse,
yes,
who's been a local band in the last like 6 months or so that you've discovered where you're like, oh, I like that?
Oh my goodness. Exposed for not listening to music recently. I do have one. And this is, I'm very lucky because this literally just happened to me in the last like 3 weeks, and I've been listening to their record nonstop. But the Houseplants, H-A-U-S.
Oh, they're really talented.
Yes, so good.
Yeah, I played a show with them last summer, I think. And yeah, they have an interesting blend of styles.
Totally. And they just put out a record called Into Equilibrium that I believe has topped the charts at CJSF for 2 weeks in a row.
Whoa!
Is it a full length or is it an EP?
It's five, six tracks, but they're all like
five length,
5 or 6 minutes. So it's kind of in the middle
gray area.
There.
Those are always so tricky.
Yeah. But it's really cool. It, like you're saying, it mixes, they mix a whole bunch of different styles. And there's this like kind of like droney post-punky thing, but then they've also sometimes got horns and very cool. I like them.
You did mention them, I think, in our last show that we did together.
Yeah, that's when they started their ascent.
Yeah. And
and then I played them on every show I did that week and the next week. And so
I was almost 100% certain you were going to say King Bob.
Oh, also love King Bob, which is Victoria. But
I'll check them out. I haven't heard of them.
Yeah, very earnest pop rock, pop punk, in that vein. Very like pro worker, and just
like pro working class.
Yeah, the songwriter front person is Jackson McDonald, who's the host of a Canucks podcast called Roxy Fever. That is like the most leftist Vancouver Canucks podcast. He like works as a line cook, and so that experience is very, it's very autobiographical and like direct.
Cool.
Yeah. More unionist emo.
Exactly. Yeah. I really like it, and not just because I like the podcast.
So, right on. Okay.
Yeah.
King Bob.
King Bob. After the Recess character, King Bob. I don't know if you were a Disney's Recess fan back in the...
I know of it. I didn't see it.
So I'm a little bit troll. Forgive you. We'll forgive you.
Yeah. It's not... knowledge of the cartoon is not necessary to enjoy the rock, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's... We're getting down to the end of it. Jeff, do you have anything... Any final thoughts?
Thank you for, if you're listening, thanks for supporting the Vancouver Mixtape. Jamie and Jesse have been doing this for a long time, and they're amazing people. I love doing this. I think this was my first interview ever as Devours, was doing this with you guys.
Wow.
Oh, really?
I think so. Yeah. And I'm just as giddy now as I was back then to come in and talk to you guys. This is really fun. Thank you, everyone, for supporting me and Vancouver music.
Yeah, and your new album, Sports Car Era, comes out March 14th.
Yeah, I'm releasing it on Surviving the Game, which is my own sort of fake vanity label. But it's coming out on vinyl and digital Friday, March 14th. I will be playing a lot of shows this year, so hopefully see you around.
Yeah, and that that limited edition deluxe opaque gray and black vinyl limited run looks very, very nice.
Yeah, they're very nice.
You can pre-order that on Bandcamp right now. Okay, well, that's it for the Vancouver Mixtape. So thanks, Jeff. So nice to have you on once again.
Thank you.
Next time anything you do happens, we'll be sure to have you back
yeah,
on.
It's
always a treat.
Thank you.
And you out there, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. I am Jesse.
I'm Jamie.
That's Jamie. We're the Vancouver Mixtape. See you next time.
Is Bird Note. Late spring and early summer are the peak of birdsong. And how do you go about learning to recognize the bird voices you hear? Well, Roger Torrey Peterson, the best-known American figure of 20th century birdwatching, offered this help. In his field guides, he often provided a catchphrase to identify a bird's song. For example, in the song of the common yellowthroat, he heard witchetty, witchetty, witchetty. What better way to capture the galloping cadence and crisp quality of his song? A male California quail's song can be remembered as Chicago, Chicago, Chicago. The olive-sided flycatcher's distinctive whistled three-note song has been likened to quick three beers. How about this one? This catchy song is often described as "See me, pretty, pretty me." If you hear this, you'll know a handsome white-crowned sparrow is nearby. In the East, you're more likely to hear the sweet, wavering song of the white-throated sparrow. It seems to say, "Oh, sweet Canada, Canada." Listen to all these songs again and find resources to help you bird by ear on our website, birdnote.org.